Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F-word. How about you?
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex. Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversations, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
If I am you and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before. So sure, doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility. My reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be. A mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain. A content too infinite to define. Too magnificent to confine. Too perfect to refine. Too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention. A new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity, the responsibility to dare to care for one another? No cover can camouflage our connection. The detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection. No more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on
with a rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me in the grocery line. No longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me. And even if it's hindsight, it still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to someplace I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity, born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be. Be what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you, okay, and you are me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fate, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference. Can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Our oneness through condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity. The dignity, respect, resting on my tongue, ready to bless you, caress you in compassion and understanding. Respect, nestling in my psychic space, ready to embrace our dance of differences, amalgamations of cultures and traditions, an exhibition of beauty in diversity, a prohibition of envy and adversity, a unity beyond conformity to the status quo that has to go, for it fails to know that true power is in our unity. No longer judging by appearances, our experiences, expectations or demarcations, duality and abnormality, longer consume as we resume our identity as sisters and brothers of the earth, birthed with the same breath of life, the nefesh still fresh within us. If Jesus can forgive on his cross, then surely I can toss aside my pride, no longer hide the light under a bushel to keep
you from my radio. This mania of playing judge and jury, causing so much fury, digging ourselves in a hole, taking a toll, putting an immoral mortgage on our souls, the debt of which we can no longer pass on to our children to pay. Alive, available today for all to be.
Yes, indeed. Let our legacy be our unity. We can create a community that joins us all together. Only if only we're willing to let go of what we're afraid of. Only if we're willing to let go and declare our belief system, because ultimately we are one. Now, as a matter of fact, we're even more than that. We're even more delicious than that. Ansible said, each and every one of us, we're cupcakes. I love it. Ooh, yes, indeed. That's Valerie Joy. Well, it's not Valerie Joy, but that's Reverend Deborah Johnson on Valerie Joy CD. And the title of that spoken word is Unity. Because when you recognize that, when you remember that, you realize you're just a different flavor. Your flavor is not better than the other. But slow down, life coach Addie. Just relax. I know you're already excited. Calm down. Welcome the guest into the house first. Okay. All right. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I was getting carried away. I'm just excited. Okay, great. Now you can just do the things that you do normally and come. Take a breath. Yeah, let's all take a breath again. There you go. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for tuning into yourself. Because when you tune into yourself, you can get the knowledge from your intuition, and then you can realize and remember that, wait a minute, what am I afraid of? Oh, I had an erroneous thought about this person, about this thing, about this culture. I can change. Yes, yes, yes. You make a difference. You know you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're here. And what legacy are you creating right now? What you're doing right now, the thoughts you're thinking right now, is it creating unity or separation? Are you expressing your authenticity? Because that's what we need. And authenticity means expressing everything about you. Sometimes the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, that part of you is just so ugly. It's just like you've been trying to hide it. You've been making it up. You've been putting a mask on. But just let it hang out and say, folks, I'm working to be my best self. Please bear with me. I'm a work in progress. Don't front. Don't project your issues. Yes, you make a difference. You make a difference. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday through Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. And regular listeners know every now and then we go a little bit longer. But it's more now than then. I don't know what's going on. What I do know is we'll always be here. Well, yes, always. Even if I make my transition, the audios are always going to be here. That's my legacy. What is going on with this guy today? Nothing new. It's the same old life coach. He comes on super hype.
He can't help himself. That's how he leads us.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I am your host, Life Coach Addy. You figure that one out. And we welcome all new listeners, those of you that are listening for the first time. Welcome home. Where have you been? What took you so long? Well, we're glad you're here. It didn't matter how long you're here. That's all that matters. I think I need to do some announcements. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see. And Ansava is waiting patiently. I can see her smiling. She's like, yes, can I join in? Yeah, we're coming. We're coming. Just let me do a little bit of here. And started the show off with Reverend Deborah Johnson, Unity, and on Valerie Joy CD. And to find out more about Valerie Joy or to get a copy of that track, go to valeriejoy.com, valeriejoy.com. You're doing too much, man. Focus. valeriejoy.com. Okay, I'm focused. Announcements. Well, we're taking your questions and comments. I posted a video on Facebook not long ago, which kind of highlights the stereotypes that we are. Just, you know, everybody got judgment, all of us. So if you've got a chance to watch it and you want to share your comments, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Today we are talking, well, the topic, the title is, I kind of, as a title of a book called Children Are Like Cupcakes. And I've got my cup of tea right here. Hold on, let me take a sip. The only thing that's missing is the cupcake. Maybe Ansava's got one for me. Maybe. But I kind of, you know, the title, I play with it a little bit. Children, people are like cupcakes. So if we can really get that, oh, my God, this would be a yummy world. Well, and so stay tuned. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad when you call in to share your thoughts, to ask a question. We're also taking your question on Ask Life Coach Addy fan page. Ask Life Coach Addy fan page. Yes, ADE. Ask Life Coach ADE fan page on Facebook. And if you don't do Facebook or the firewall has blocked Facebook at your work, at your school, at home, or your parents blocked it, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. They can't hinder us. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a Ask Life Coach at a tab. And click that in there. Click that tab and then put your question in it, and I'll get it, and we'll get to it. Casper and I will get to it. And what else? Yes, Celestial Moment at 1 o'clock. Celestial Moment with Celeste Moment comes in at 1 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. And, I got to tell you about Monday. We've got some great guests coming up next week. You can find all that information on Ask Life, Life Conversations, Life Coach, Life That. It's all about life. I'm super hyped today. I think I had too much cupcakes before the show. Mentally. I was visualizing myself. Next week, Monday, we have Dr. Carol Rutberger. She's a medical intuitive. So we're going to go in inner space. We're going to talk about healing, how we can support ourselves. She's the author of Healing Happens With Your Help. God can only do for you what God can do through you. So healing happens with your help. Don't leave that to a doctor or something. You got to be part of it. So we'll talk more about that on Monday. On Tuesday, we have Eddie Mullen, he's an angel intuitive, a psychic medium. So, you know, we're going to go out of space. We go inner space, out of space. We've got Ancestral Blueprints on Wednesday, and Thursday's turning out to be a surprise. So just check out lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com for all the information, past guests, upcoming guests. Some of the great things that happen here. Let's see. So now I've got this. I am so grateful for Mercury retrograde. It's keeping me balanced. Let me read a little bit about Ansava Gabor. And she's waiting patiently, and I can feel her saying, tag me. Yes, if you're just joining us, this is a place where we share love, we share truth, we stimulate thoughts. You may disagree, but that's okay. What we do here is to help you connect with your truth. And find out what is true for you. Listen to what is real. And then be
Be the Change You Want to See. Nsaba Gabor was born in Providence, Rhode Island, to Ghanaian parents. Being born into another culture outside her parents' native homeland, Nsaba Gabor was raised with both Ghanaian and American values. Yeah, she's the perfect author for a book like this. Now that Nsaba is a bicultural mother to her daughter, Nsaba was inspired to write her first children book. Children are like cupcakes. To encourage her daughter and other children to be comfortable with their own uniqueness. Adults, pay attention. Parents, pay attention. Are you comfortable with your own uniqueness? She practices family counseling as a licensed professional counselor. She earned her bachelor's degree in individual and family development at Purdue University and her master's in counseling psychology at Bowie State University. She currently works with Prince William Family Counseling, D.C., and is a clinical supervisor with Virginia Home-Based Counseling, D.C., in Woodbridge, Virginia. She lives with her husband and a daughter in Woodbridge, and she is here waiting to just download and share and dance with me as we assist people to be the change they want to see. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Nsaba Gabor. Hello, Nsaba. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Welcome to Life Conversations Radio. How are you doing this morning? How's life
fine,
treating?
Thank you for the beautiful introduction. I feel famous already.
Because you are.
I just baked some apple dapple cakes. I would love to have given you a piece.
I think I had some already. Can you feel me being super high? I think I had too much. I don't calm myself down. But I'm struggling. The sugar's in my system. Help me.
So I think the first reason you'd want to know is what gave me the idea to write this book,
actually,
right?
I do, and you're right. That's the first question that I have here. But before I do that, I want to do something. I want to ask you something that you want to anticipate it. You know, and my listeners are used to me asking this question, so they really want to know. And if I didn't ask you, they'd be mad at me. And I can't allow my listeners to be mad at me. So here's the question. I read a little bit about you. I talked about you. But I want to hear from you, your perspective, your point of view. Who are you? Who is Nsaba Gabor?
I guess the first thing I think is an advocate for other people. My name, Nsaba, means fighter of her people. Mm. And it's kind of strange and ironic that that's what I've grown to do, to be a counselor. I love people. And I guess when you say, who's Nsaba Gabor, it's like I've never really been asked that question before, but I just see myself, like I said, as a kind person who likes to help people and to try to accommodate each other, not assimilate, but accommodate each other, meaning it's okay for us to be different, but we're like pieces of a puzzle put together.
Yeah.
And pieces of a puzzle put together makes a picture. So I'm the type of person where if you meet me for the first time and I come into your life, you know, you're not going to feel the same. You're going to be meeting somebody who's very different, and you might start seeing things differently by getting to know me. And so I'm a very visual person in general, and a lot of times I think in pictures. So one day I was driving down the highway, and I decided that, you know, how can we find an analogy? Like, how do I describe people? Like, what's the best way to describe people? And I said, well, the best way to describe people is through cake. You know, we have different flavors of cake. But when you eat it, it's still sweet. It's still yummy.
Right.
You know, we have chocolate. We have vanilla. We have all different kinds. And that's the best way to describe how people are. And so I've always wanted to be married and have a child. I always thought that was I always felt being married would bring me peace, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask Nsaba where she fits in, I don't really know. Because when I'm in Ghana, I'm American. When I'm in America, I'm Ghanaian. When I'm being raised, when I'm being raised in my house, I'm an African girl. When I go to school, I'm an American girl. So I'm just sort of in a race by myself, is how I feel, because I don't really know where I fit in. So that's what inspired me to write the book. I don't want my daughter to go through the same thing.
No, that's right. I am listening to you, and I'm laughing here, and I'm trying not to laugh.
You know how it feels, Coach Ade.
Yes,
you know how it feels.
And the analogies you're using, I so get it, because I'm always talking about when we're baking bread or whatever it is, we use flour, we use sugar. The flour is not better than the sugar. And just this whole thing, if we bring it all together, when we recognize that each of us are a piece of a puzzle, how that creates a beautiful picture. I so get it. And you and I are friends for a lifetime.
Yeah, we are. Because I didn't choose myself. I didn't choose myself. I didn't choose my color or choose anything. You know, I didn't choose myself. I didn't have a hand in that. You know, and like with my religious convictions, I feel like, you know, God brought me here to do this. And and it's like I'm finally reached an age where I accept myself all the way that I'm in a race by myself.
Right.
But we have a lot of friends who come from different countries who feel the same. We're just in a race by ourselves because we're multicultural. And it's nice.
Right.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Right. And so let me ask you this. You talked about, you know, I love when you say when you're Ghana, you're American, and when you're here, you're Nigerian.
I know.
So get it. Oh, boy. I won't go there yet, but let's do this. You know, you were raised by Ghanaian values and American values. What was that like for you growing up? I mean, you know, Nigerian parents and Ghanaian parents are similar. So, and the African cultural values are sometimes pretty tough. So what was that like for you growing up and having to find your own way?
Well, my mother, I mean, let me just start from I have a very strong memory. And I didn't really start speaking English till I was 6 years old in first grade. And I remember my mother asking me what my name was, and I didn't understand it right away. So my mother said in my language, you know, tell her your name. And I said, well, my name is Ansaba, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a little child, my mother used to always tell us that she was not an American mother, and she was not going to treat us like one, and that we're Africans. And she said it all the time. But when I'd go outside and play, like at nighttime or maybe in the middle of the day, you see the moon. You know the moon? How it looks at night with the craters on it.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I thought that's where Africa was. I thought we lived on the moon. It's kind of funny. So when my mother my mother and my father took us to Ghana when I was 6 years old, then I saw where all my people were. So, you know, I'm a Fanti. Both my parents are Fantis, right? The Fanti tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're divided into tribes. And so I always knew that there was three of us here because most of my family were there in Ghana. So I didn't have too much trouble understanding why there weren't many of us growing up because I knew most of them were in Ghana. But as a child, it's kind of confusing sometimes to say what you are because, like I said, in Ghana, you're American. In America, you're Ghanaian. So I just couldn't fit in. And I guess I'm still that way in a lot of ways. I just don't. I just feel like it's me, my husband, my daughter, and I'm in a world by myself. And I don't want my daughter to feel the same way. How do you relate to that?
Well, I do relate. I mean, actually, it's an interesting thing. And I want to come back to, well, the thing that comes up for me, and I've shared this on the show many times, is there was a time where I struggled with belonging. Now, I was born in England, and then at the age of 4, moved to Nigeria with my parents. So and most of my years, till I was 18, I was in Nigeria, and then moved back to England, and eventually I moved to America. And there was a time where I struggled with belonging because I wasn't quite sure. It's like, okay, I'm Nigerian, I was born in England, but you know, England is fine. I kind of like it, but Nigeria, you know, after being here more so when I got on a spiritual path. This is how I describe it. I start to feel like some of the things I was learning about myself was different from what I was taught or what I remembered from being a child. And so much so my father used to say that I am the Western one. But it's actually, when you translate the word, it means the white one. He even calls me the coconut because he thought about how I was thinking that I think like white people.
Oh, my goodness.
And that used to be, I used to be pissed, man. And my sister says it too. But then after a while, through my own work, it's like, you know, I get it. Okay, I don't think like a typical Nigerian, and I don't think like a typical British, but I am who I am. And through my own personal development, I have learned that I can't say I don't think like Nigerian or like a British person or like somebody who lives in America. I just think universally. The way I think, I can relate to things in this country, I can relate to things in England, I can relate to things in Nigeria, and everywhere else, because I have a better understanding of humanity and myself. Now, my father doesn't say it anymore, but even if he said it, I just laugh. I'm actually so at peace with it. But I did struggle with belonging. And there
were
people
who lived...
Say that again?
How old were you when you decided, when you realized who you are? How old were you? How long did it take you?
Well, I don't know if I can even say that I finally realized it, but I can, this is the best way I can put it, that I feel at peace. I mean, even up to 2 years ago, the question sneaks up on me. It sneaks up like out of nowhere. I may be sitting down meditating or just reflecting, and I kind of think of things that are going on in Nigeria. Now, I haven't been back to Nigeria in so many years, over 20 years.
So much money.
So I would
if it was 500, I would have been
back
there a million times.
I know that's right. So I would think sometimes if I go back to Nigeria, I would probably need a tour guide. So sometimes it helped me. I start to think, just that idea. But I am at peace, and I welcome the opportunity to go back to look at the place where I grew up. And to be able to celebrate the differences that we're talking about in the book. And because people would say to me, Nigeria, England, or America, which one is the best? I'm like, and I've always said that none of it. It's just they've all contributed to who I am. But I also know when you were young and when you're a teenager, I was in Nigeria, so I didn't have
my goodness.
It was easier. Well, it was easy until I learned the language because I was speaking English and I didn't understand what my people were saying. But eventually it got easier. But I want to ask you, when you were going through school, high school, what was that like for you? let's get to the heart of the cupcake.
I knew this would come up.
Yes, it's coming up.
Okay.
Ask questions. I go deep. Go for it.
You do. Okay. Mm. When I was growing up, right, I grew up in the projects. I remember that being the happiest time of my life, the projects, 2 years, from 6 to 8. We had a blast. It was just fun. I learned how to ride my bike there. It was just fun. And I think my mother was going through a lot of difficulties with, fellow African-Americans accepting her as part of them. And so they used to always tell her to go back to Africa all the time. And so my mother moved us from the projects. My mother didn't really show us color differences.
When African American tells an African woman, go back to Africa. What a concept. We'll talk about that, but keep going. It's just fascinating.
So
humans,
my mother wanted us to go to a quote-unquote good school, so she packed us up and took us to Catholic private school, a Catholic school for 4 years.
Ooh.
And that's a whole other story. But from all of third, all of fourth, all of fifth, and all of sixth, I was in Catholic school with Irish, Portuguese, and Irish, Portuguese, and Jewish, the three of them.
Mm.
And I was pretty much, between me and the Liberian girl, who was my classmate, we were the only Africans there. And so I had no concept of black, white, or any of that stuff. I just knew I was African. I didn't have concept about looks, right? So I was comfortable with myself. And so at 12, my mother decided to move us to Maryland. So when I moved to Maryland, I was very excited that I would get to play with other black people. I was very, very, very excited. So when I got there, they wouldn't accept me. And they kept telling me to go back to Africa. And for a long time, I'll say 6 years long, they kept telling me I was too black, I was too ugly, go back to Africa. And that was for a long time, a good 6 years of bullying. And they would ask me if I thought I was too dark. But that concept wasn't there because everybody I love was my color. My people, right, quote-unquote, were on the moon, and most of us on the moon were my color. So I didn't think about, am I too dark, am I too light? They just kept doing it for a long time. And I never understood it because if it came from the Caucasians or from the Europeans, then I understood very much. But when it came to my own people, the African-Americans, I just didn't understand why they treated me this way. So I didn't really have a happy middle school or high school. I didn't have wasn't very happy because I was always coming home in tears. And so it wasn't a very happy high school / middle school. I'm happy now, yes, but I think if I had a cupcake book like the one I wrote just now, and they taught me that when I was small, like 5 or 6 or even 3 or 4, then I would have understood that, you know, this is why I want we parents to start doing that. I would have understood that, you know, we are all in America. We're all living in America together. We have different races. And, you know, it just makes you more open to other races. Because I was never told I was different, not from my mother or anybody. I was just told I was African. So that's what I related to. So that's the answer to the question.
I want to stay with that because there are parents who are, you know, interracial, whatever that means. I mean, there's only human race. But anyway, but we use the term interracial, biracial, if you're in England, but we are talking about marrying in outside of your race. We have all those conversations. What helped you to heal that process? To, you know, especially when you talk about people that you looked like told you, go back to your country, go back to Africa. Let me stay with you for a minute. What did you have to do? What did your parents do to help you find your identity, to be at peace and be able to heal that that traumatic experience?
Well, my mother said that I was a beautiful girl and I had a beautiful African shape. But I used to just tell her that you're just saying that because you're my mom. I used to say you're just saying that because you're my mother. So I knew she loved me unconditionally, so whatever she said, I didn't listen. She used to have to fight my battles for me at school. And then one day I grew up and she said, Ansaba, you know, you're grown. You know, I'm too old to keep fighting your battles. You're grown. Talk for yourself. I guess when I got born again, Christian, when I was 22 years old, you know, I realized that I was here for a reason. And maybe I haven't really answered your question because maybe I still don't know. Maybe I'm still
What I heard was the love of your mother.
Yeah.
That kept reminding you who you are. And we do that. You know, we say, oh, yeah, you're saying that just because my mom. You're saying that just because you're my dad. But it's that love when you're being reminded. I mean, when the outside world is telling you you don't belong, you're not one of us. If we can have one voice to say you belong, you're beautiful, you're worthy, that just one person to affirm who we are, that's part of the healing. And that's what I heard, is how your mom reminded you, even though maybe intellectually or you thought, oh, yeah, but your spirit was like, yep, that's the truth. That is the truth. And because the point I was also trying to pull out, I don't even think I finished my question, was for parents who are raising children who are interracial, biracial, or whatever, whatever we want to call it, it's important from your answer, and I really agree with that, it's we've got to remember what love is. We got to remember what love is. And through that, that love, we got to understand what love is, because sometimes someone thinks love is just about as an emotion. Now, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to go deep and you know, I want to ask you if there was something particularly that happened that got you to a place where you said, you know, I got to write a book. But don't answer that now. Maybe it's your whole story. Maybe something happened, or maybe what you see happened with your daughter. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Ansaba Gabor. She is the author of Children Are Like Cupcakes. And so are you, parents. Anyway, don't do that. We just need sometimes to remember that we are cupcakes, that we are different flavors, that, you know, some of us are sugar-free, and that's okay. some of us are made with, you know, we've just got different ingredients, and we can celebrate that. And while I take a break, if you get a chance, someone has a question, we'll come to the question on the phone lines. We're taking your questions on Ask Life Coach at a fan page on Facebook, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page. If you haven't liked it yet, like it now. Post your question and we'll get to it. If you don't do Facebook or can't get on, you can go to, where should I go again? Life Coach Daddy, remind me. Oh, yeah. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and click the Ask Life Coach at a tab and send in your question. We're talking about multiculturalism, cultural diversity, and there's so much more. And, you know, we're going to try and we're going to cover as much as we can. There's so much. I was talking to Ansaba before the show. You know, this happens. It's not just the African American and the African thing. In Nigeria, I was taking a break, but let me say this before I take a break. I was going to take a break. I really was, believe me. But in Nigeria, I remember growing up in Nigeria when Nigerians thought they were better than Ghanaians. And in England, I had Pakistani friends who thought they're better than Indians. Here, the Northerners sometimes look down on people in the South. They say, oh, those people in the country. It's human nature. We got to work to cleanse ourselves of that BS. BS, that's right, that belief system that is not serving us, that is separating us. We need each other. Because I promise you, if you did a heart transplant, you're not going to ask, what's your religious beliefs? What part of the country you're from? You just want an organ that's going to keep you alive. We'll be right back here listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Ansaba Gabor. Her website address is Ansaba, spelled out for you, A-N-S-A-B-A, books.com. A-N-S-A-B-A, books.com. You can see a beautiful picture there. You can order your copy, and you can read it to your children, because we've got to catch children when they're young, before they get contaminated by the adults. I said that. Yes, I did. Because the adults are the real issue. But anyway, we're going to talk more about that. And, yes, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Before we go to answer the question that I asked you, I want to take a call. We've got a listener. Let's see.
Okay.
Area code 202. What's your question or comment?
Hello.
Yes, it's you. You're live, and you're alive. What's your name?
My name is Pamela, and I just wanted to say congratulations to Ansiba for publishing her book and for bringing to light the multiculturalism and the problem we all face in our day-to-day living.
Thank you. Do you have any questions, or you just wanted to give props? Or you want to just give
I
it
just
a,
want to
a
give
big
props.
Ups. Just to give yeah. big ups.
Thank you.
It is so heartwarming, isn't it? You know, when you allow yourself, when you express your story and share yourself and how it changes people's perspective. And I'll come to that question in a minute. So what was the catalyst? What was the trigger? What made you decide, you know, I've got to write the book and the time is now?
Well, I used to like to draw pictures as a child. I used to love drawing pictures and families, and I was obsessed with it. And I was also a writer. I used to like to write short stories. I have a lot of short stories. And I'm a reader, and I like to write. And so I always said that, you know, when I got married and got pregnant, I would spend my pregnancy writing children's books. But time goes so fast, and we don't have control of our future. So last year on my birthday, I decided, you know, I'm going to go ahead and finally write my children's book. And the reason why I said let me do it now is because now my daughter was growing up, and she was 3 years old at the time. And one of my counselors, one of my clinicians that I supervised, came to my house, and she was white. And just like religion, I didn't want my daughter to, you know, see people in colors. I wanted her to see people as people. So she says, that white lady, you mean that white lady? And I said, well, Samoka, if you're white, what color are you? She said, I'm brown. I said, how could she be white and you be brown? You're black. She said, no, I'm not black. I'm brown. I'm a brown little girl, she said. So I said, let me just go ahead and write the book. So I wrote the book, and She knows it's her book, too, because she signs with me. And those are her friends and depicted in the book. And one day, and I think it worked, because one day my mother asked my daughter, my daughter is in international school right now with different races, right? And my mother asked my daughter, is your teacher white or black? And my daughter said, she's not white, she's vanilla. So she already got the concept, she's not white, she's vanilla. And so I noticed that this is not really about race. This is about loving yourself before you get, like you said, contaminated by adults, like you said. And when I was reading the book to her, to all the her classmates, one girl looked at me and said she wanted to be one of the other girls. She was a girl with, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, and she wanted to be the girl with the red hair, green eyes. I'm like, why can't she like herself? And then another little boy, I was reading it. He looked at his skin and said, "I'm peach. I'm a peach color, you know." And so they seem to get the concept already, because when my daughter talks about people, she goes by names, not by colors. And I'm very happy about it. And that's the goal that I want to teach our little children before they reach puberty, where you have to try and fit in, and it's not going to be because of race. It's going to be because you love yourself and you accept yourself, that everyone around you different, but inside we are made the same. And it's true, inside we are made the same. Yeah.
Yes, like a cupcake.
And
your book is about that, it's a synopsis to helping us understand and recognize the sameness. And and there are those of us who will run to sameness and say, I just see sameness. I want to know your thought. What do you think about the importance, about recognizing the differences as well? What are your thoughts on that? I have some thoughts, but what are your thoughts about recognizing and embracing the differences?
I mean, I just feel like if people don't know, people don't know. Like, I had this little girl who I used to be her counselor. She's a white little girl, a vanilla little girl. Let's say vanilla. And I said, oh, do you know, I don't know how the race topic came, but I said, are you used to black people? And she said, I'm white. So if I'm white, how could I be used to black people? And that makes sense because that's all she knows. That's all she sees.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense. So I just see it as if you're not exposed to it, you just don't know. I've been exposed to it. I've traveled. I've been around. But, you know, Purdue University was a predominantly white school. And if they're not living among black people, how are they supposed to know? You only, as children, like I said, I was African. So as children, we only go by what we're told and go by what we're exposed to. And if you live in a state where there's no blacks, then how do you know about blacks? You just don't.
Right.
So that's how
I
see it as. I see it as you just don't know. You weren't exposed. That's all. That's how I see it as.
In your book, your book, The Comfort for Me, is really about identity. You know, and in America, we tend to put it in the context of black and white, but it's so much more because we put it in the context of sometimes in the area of religion, we talk about Muslim and the Christians, the Hindus, you know, particularly right now it's Christian and Muslim. So we have all the differences. We're based on where we live. And it's really, the issue really is about identity. And that's a lifelong question. You asked me, when did I realize, oh, find peace, or what's the word? I can't remember exactly what you said, but you were asking me, when was I able to be okay with who I am? But I think it's an ongoing thing. And humanity, it's easy for us to project. You know, you talked about color earlier, and people would say, well, I don't see color. I just see a human being. And intellectually, that sounds good. But
no, but that's not how I see it.
No, go ahead.
I don't see it that way. I see it as that we are different colors, and that's why we have to accommodate one another, you know. One of my best friends, Erica Fisher, one of my best friends, she's African-American, and my other best friend, Debbie Chen. Debbie Chen is, you know, half Chinese, and, you know, and I remember talking to her one time. I said, you know, we're very best friends, but you have to, you know, we're not assimilating, even though we're very, very best friends, you know. I'm not going to forget that I'm black, because I am. I'm African, and I'm black, and I'm not going to forget that. That's why we have to accommodate each other to say, yeah, I'm African, and I like it. I'm Chinese, and I like it. I'm white, and I like it. I'm European, and I like it. And let's work together. So I don't believe in saying we're all one, you know, like all of us are one. No, we have to accommodate each other's uniqueness. When my daughter sees, she would say, I'm an African girl, you know, and you know, when she's, well, like her classmates, some of them are Muslims, they cover their hair, they tie their hair, even at that young age. And my daughter would say, oh, she's, you know, she's Indian. You know, she's not into, I think we need to recognize that we are our race. We're unique, and we come from different places, but we can accommodate we can accommodate each other peacefully and love each other peacefully. So when it comes to, did I answer your question?
Yeah, and you know, what comes up for me is we got to remember that we're equally different.
That's it. That's what I meant. You hit it on a nail. That's exactly what I meant. Exactly.
Yes. We're equally different, and when we recognize that, then we could be at peace. Now, let's talk about stereotype, which we've been talking about it, but from a place for people saying, well, I get this, I see it, because in this country, here in America, or even in England, especially in the Western world, the conversation around white and black triggers so much pain, triggers so much emotion. As I said earlier at the beginning of the show, I post a video on there. I wanted to know people's thoughts, and the conversation is still going about the video. You know, it's like there are questions. There's something about black and white. Part of it is because of the history of this country, the things that haven't been acknowledged, the things that we want to deny, the things that we just want to pretend doesn't exist. But I want to ask you, as a counselor and for a mother and somebody who's bicultural, if you will, you know, you were raised by your parents who are Ghanaian and in America, but also American values. what would you say to people saying, well, how do we break this stereotype? It's just part of human existence. There's nothing we can do about it. What would you say to them, and what can we all do collectively to start shifting the perception of how we see one another so we can recognize that we're equally different?
Well, I never really thought about that. Stereotypes will always be there. That's just ingrained. Mm-hmm. And the best way to overcome it is to keep it to yourself. That's the best way to accommodate it, because, you know, you can't control how somebody, because every race has their own stereotypes, and that comes from what we don't know. And stereotype doesn't have to be negative, you know, and whether people have stereotypes or not, you know, it's always going to be there, and we have to accept that it's going to be there because we just don't know. But the best way to combat it is to just see it as a no-no, where you keep it to yourself, and that will, you know, that will also help us live with each other, because we can't tell somebody that they can't be a certain way. We need to all grow up in the same house, and we all come from different backgrounds, and we all come from different cultures. And our children, as we are, don't have to buy into stereotypes because they're being exposed the right way, our little girls, our little children. And this is why I wrote the book, right? Because right now we're being, you know, led by the 80s kids right now. We're all, what, 30s, 40s right now. And we said when we grew up, we were not going to be like our parents, but they are anyway. So the stereotype, that one, I'm not even sure how that's ever going to go away. But, I mean, if it's impolite, then you need to keep it to, if people will take it offensively, you need to keep it to yourself and, you know, not share and hurt people and cause feuds, you know, because the stereotypes will always be there. But so if you understand, it's based on the way they grew up, and we can't undo it, because once it's in there, it's in there. That's why we want to start with our little children now, ages 3 and up. Let's start with them right now. Yeah. It's a touchy subject.
Say that again?
It's a touchy subject. It's very touchy.
It is.
When you talk about stereotypes.
That's the crux of it. It's because it's very touchy. We afraid to even go there. You know, some of us have stereotypes, and it's negative, and it's judgmental. I can't think that. I shouldn't think that. And I think I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think part of what we can do is create a safe space, like between friends, even this conversation that you and I are having, to have people look at what they believe about other races, other culture, people in other countries, people in Iran, Iraq. Let's really go there, in Afghanistan, you know, in people in Syria, people in Nigeria, people in Ghana. What do if we can ask ourselves real questions, some real honest questions, and we allow ourselves not to just be with it, not judging what comes up. Because you said something earlier at the beginning of the show, I didn't ask to be born, I didn't ask to be here, I didn't ask to be black, I didn't ask to be African. You were born, and we are born into this planet, and we're dealt the hands we're dealt. And how do we use that to play the game of life? And I think that's the real thing. But I think, you know, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think if we can create safe space, even with the book, because your book is written for children. But adults can use it.
Really for adults, too, though, anyway.
So
let's reach adults through our children.
Say that again?
Let's reach adults through our children.
Yes, exactly. I hear that. There's a question or comment, observation in the chat room, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. Catherine said, me about this question. Well, it's more of an observation. She said, what strikes me is, are you and your guests so connected to your African identity? Very different American-born in the inner city kid. The American-born in the inner city. That she said. Well, basically, we have a strong. Did you say strong? Connected. We are so connected to African identity. Now, I don't know about you, Ansaba, but for me, I grew up in Nigeria. I didn't grow up in. I wasn't born in America, and so part of my who I am today, I experienced as a Nigerian. I experienced what that was like in Nigeria. I didn't experience it in another country. So though I had my issues with belonging, I can still. It's like I could still. I have a visceral memory.
You do.
I can connect. Yes, it's. I know what it's like to be a Nigerian. I know what the experience was. There are people in this country
particularly when we're talking about African American, I mean, let's really go there. There's the struggle between, you know, being an African American, being an African, but never been there. Don't really have a connection, but, you know, I look like people in Africa. So, yeah, that's who I am. And the people, the other people, the white people in this country think I'm African or they want me to go back to my country. So I think it's slightly, I can't even say, you know, I can't compare it, but I can see why. What's your thoughts on that? About what, you know, she's saying that we seem connected to our African identity, but kids born in the inner city are not.
But what does inner city mean? Because I didn't grow up, I mean, quote unquote, inner city.
I know, that's right.
I didn't grow up in the inner city.
I know Kathleen, and I think she was just trying to be politically correct. And I thought the same thing. But go ahead, go ahead.
There's just so many black colleges out there. There's so many. The inner city is okay. We don't know who lives in the inner city, but it's very minute. But in any case, I mean, it's very significantly, the inner city is a lot smaller than the outer city, if that's the way you want to put it. But I guess when my first crush was when I moved to Maryland, was an African-American boy. But we couldn't really do anything anyway because we were just kids. And then everybody started bothering me. So he just, you know, we stopped being friends. So what I did, I felt like I was missing something. And that's why I moved to Ghana and I lived there for a year. It was beautiful. And what I did to separate myself was that I used to just wear African clothes all the time, especially in college, so people could know that I was an African girl. So I used to always wear a lot of African clothes all the time. You know, the baboos, you know, the up and downs. And I used to just wear those to let people know. Because the way I talk, people either thought I was Jamaican or white. And so even today, sometimes when they see me, like when I go out to the lobby to get a patient or a client, they'd be shocked that I was a black girl. You know, black African, whichever way you want to call it. And so where I dealt with it, there was a lot of anger there for me. So what I did was to wear African clothes. And I thought people who grew up in Ghana were lucky, you know, or Nigeria like you were lucky because the foundation was made. But now it's a new day right now. And we're raising my little children in a country built on a lot of immigrants. And so... they're not going to have the same situation. So my daughter for sure is going to be fluent in both my husband's language and my language. She's going to be fluent, and that's going to be her identity, is her language. Because when she talks, she sounds like an American girl. So I would love for her. I mean, I know my native tongue, and I'm learning my husband's native tongue, and she needs to learn both tongues, and she's going to because she's smart. Yeah, that's the way I'm raising her.
Right, right. It's that knowledge of self. It's really about knowledge of self.
Yeah,
and, I want to take a call, and we're getting ready for Ancestral Blueprints, but not Ancestral Blueprints, Celestial Moment. But I want to take a call. When we, after this first call, we've got two callers. I want to talk about, from your experience as a counselor, what can, in this case, let's talk about African-American parents, do to help their children understand their identity, you know, because you talk about being connected to your culture, your country, your roots, because one of the things you had to do, what you did was wear the Ghanaian attire to just help you to just kind of know who you are. But there are people, that maybe their parents from a different country, saying, but I don't know what it's like to live there. When we come back, we're going to talk about it. But let's take a call first. This is Lori. Hello, Lori. How are you doing? Lori?
I'm blessed today. I love you, my brother.
I love you too. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I do. I have a comment and a question.
This
answer bar, because you know who you are every moment of your life, you are so blessed and you're so beautiful. You're such a beautiful spirit. Your life is a blessing. So my question to you, sister, is what are some of the things that you do today to love yourself, take care of yourself, so that you can give so much love to us?
I'm still a counselor. I think the way, what I do is I really love mothering. I love mothering my daughter, and I love being a wife to my husband. And it's just like your questions. It's just so many different questions that takes a long time to answer. And I guess what I do is I can't hear you.
Yeah, are you there, Lori?
Yes.
Okay, you can go ahead, Anzaba. Go ahead.
Lori, ask the question one more time.
I asked you, what are some of the things that you do to love yourself, to take care of yourself, so that you give so much love? Because that's all I've been receiving today is love from you. So I
are you on speakerphone? Because your phone sounds kind of muffled a little
bit. I can hear her well, though.
Okay, go ahead then, if you can.
I guess I love the Lord. I think that, honestly speaking, that's what it is. I really love the Lord. And I really feel like I'm here because of him. And I feel like, you know, my boss, Patrick, and my boss at the Koch, I work with them. They're wonderful people. I work with them for 6 years, and they really helped me to get to where I am right now. They have faith in me professionally. And I really think God has used them in a strong way to help me. So that's how I love myself, because I really feel like God had given us all a purpose in life, and I feel like my purpose in life, with my namesake, Fighter of Her People, that's what my name means. God wanted me here to do this, and that's how I take care of myself, and that's why I try and, you know, to be very spiritually minded, that to try and have some love, spread some love around, and that's how I do. That's the way I live. Since I don't really fit into Ghanaian or American or anything, I fit into God's world at least.
And that's beautiful. And you know who you are every moment. It don't matter where you are. So thank you for sharing the love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Anzaba, but that's a really good point, because when we're talking about identity, what I call the ID, the identification of the entity called me or you, it's really about having an understanding and relationship with that spiritual self, with God, with whatever name we want to call it. And that's really what it boils down to. We're more than our religious belief. We're more than our color. We're more than a country, a culture. We're so much more. And I feel like when there is a disconnection with the source of who we are, our creator, then that's when we have all the other issues and drama. What do you think?
Yes. I think there's a balance. You have to find yourself. There's a balance somewhere. This is not like a 45-minute conversation. It takes years to come into your own about where you fit in.
That's it. And you know, we're going to take a break in a minute, but I also would want to encourage people who may discover that they have some stereotypes as negative or judgmental, just be okay, because some of the beliefs that we have, it was just passed down to us. You know, it's something that parents have said. You know, I can go. I share my story. I go on Front Street, put my parents on Front Street. I remember one time I spoke to my mother. She was in Nigeria. I was over here, and we were talking. I can't remember how we got in the conversation, but she said, "Be careful, because all those people in America, they're killing each other with guns." I'm like, "What?"
I know. But that's frustration. That's a lot of frustration and a bad economy. People aren't being themselves right now. The economy is bad.
But I also had to tell my mother. It's like, first, a part of me was sad that my mother had a perception of Americans killing themselves with guns based on what she's seen on television.
That's what she sees.
That's right, and that's what she. So I just laughed. I said, "No, it's." I gave her a different scenario to see. You know, just because you watch it on television doesn't mean that's all that's going
on. That's all they show.
If that's the case, nobody's going to be alive. But I think it's really about being honest about what we don't know, what we're afraid of. It's really about honesty. And through honesty, we can start to look for the truth. We're going to take a break. And listeners, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. I am talking to Anzaba, the author of Children Like Cupcakes. Yes, children's book, but the adults need it more than the children. And you can find out more about the book and about her by going to her website, Anzaba, which is ANSABABooks.com. Something in me saying, "I'm not pronouncing that name right." Yeah, I know I'm not. I'm trying my best.
But and then here's a cultural lesson. How can you not pronounce an African name correctly? Because Africa from Ghana and from Nigeria is a total different thing. It's almost like a French and an Italian. Yeah, they're in Europe, but it's a different language, different culture. That's why, for those of you who are asking. Maybe it's just in my head. Maybe nobody's asking that question. Well, let's take a break. This is Life Conversations Radio, where we dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Regardless of religion, they knew love is the mission. No matter what, it is about being real with yourself. Why don't you give the world a gift of acceptance? But you can't give the world a gift of acceptance without accepting yourself. Because what you project in the world is what you feel and think about yourself. So if you see judgment and criticism, it's within you. Okay, maybe that's a bit strong. I'll make it easy. If you see government, if you see judgment and criticism, be the love. Be the light. Be compassionate, even while other people are being judgmental. While other people are blaming others, you be the one that brings understanding and compassion and say, you know, I understand. I used to be like that. Give the world a present. Give the gift. Give a gift of acceptance. And Saba Gabor is giving the gift of cupcakes, reminding us that we are one. We're all delicious. We're all yummy. And we go value a cupcake. They go for a lot of price. They're high value now. It's the end thing. So let's celebrate differences. Let's celebrate who we are. Let's celebrate. Let's even celebrate that fact that we don't even understand ourselves sometimes. We're so complex. We're complicatedly simple. You know, so we can just, anybody take a chill pill. Well, let's do this real quick before we let Ansaba go, because there's so much we can talk about. She said this is more than an hour and a half conversation. This is conversation that's going to happen after the show. It's going to go on, but really it's about us being the change we want to see. Let's do Celestial Moment, and then we'll come back to the conversation on children. People are like cupcakes. Celestial Moment is a little bit later than normal, but we trust the process of life. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing today?
I am great. I'm trying to figure out what kind of cupcake I am. Hello, Aunt Susan. Hello, Life Coach today. Oh, man, I wish you had more time because I really, yes, I want to do this quick. You know, this book, I love it. I love it. CC's in the middle. Tell her I said hello. I'm so glad it's a real person. And Marlo Thomas came up with Free to Be You and Me in the 70s. And I was a quote-unquote inner-city child, and I got to watch that, and it changed my life. More programming is what I say. So with all of that, good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. Happy New Moon in Aries. It's Thursday, March 22nd, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2037. Add 2037, and the energy of the day is 12. 12 is the Hanged One in Mother Peace Tarot, which reminds us to surrender what is not serving us. Trust the flow in your life and open up to something greater than yourself. Empty your mind of old stories. See them drifting away into the waters of life, and embracing it all becomes a dance. 12 is also the Porcupine in Medicine Cards, which gifts us with the sweetness of play and innocence when we become like children. We see people. We see uniqueness. We see cupcakes. Now, 12 has a shadow side. Depending on how you see the shadow, you might be a little fearful right now. But when you see that there are no enemies, everything becomes a teacher or a healing angel, and that means your shadow. So what happens when we add 1 + 2? We get 3. And 3 is the number of creation, and that is where we're going to put the spotlight today. When you let go, you open yourself to receive. Are you ready to receive the gifts of abundant living? Then let's have some fun with number 3. The third letter of the alphabet is C, and words like closer, communication, and connection wake up the magical power of 3. The third chakra is the navel solar plexus chakra. Its element is fire, and when it is balanced, we have a strong sense of identity and healthy self-respect, a willingness to persevere, an ability to trust one's instincts, a sense of belonging. The third card in tarot is the Empress, and in the everyday goddess, we are reminded to see the sacred in all beings and ourselves. For the medicine cards, the third card is the Elk, and with all of this energy of 3 running through us, we have the stamina to continue with our life purpose, with loving determination to say yes to being the change we want to see. So use this new moon energy to connect with your dreams and goals. Create from a place of power and love with no fear. It's time to see the holy in all of us, united in spirit. And then we will reap the benefit of witnessing the holy in all of our experiences. And that's the shadow side of 12.
towed through our friend number 3. All is well. I'll see you on Monday for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste Morgan. Thank you so much for tying it together. So much to learn about life, so much truth if we're just willing to embrace, digest, and eliminate what doesn't work for us. That's what we do when we eat. Mmm, that looks yummy. We take it in. The body takes care of itself. It assimilates what it wants, and anything that it doesn't need, it says, let it go. What are you holding on to? In on Saba's book, there's the I think it's the last page. It says, children are just like cupcakes, small and sweet. Life would be boring if we were all the same flavor. Even though we act like we want everybody to be the same flavor, we know life will be boring if we're all the same flavor, because it's all about difference. It's all about the color. It's all about the belief system. We've got to create a space to love and appreciate our own differences. Before I go back to Unsaba, I played a song earlier, Gift of Acceptance by India Ari. To find out more about her, her website address is soulbird.com. That's SOULBIRD.com. Gift of Acceptance. I think that's from the album Open Door album. So we open the door, we open your hearts to healing, to embracing, and telling the truth. Unsaba, before we let you go, well, what do you want to share with the listeners? What are the things that's maybe bubbling up for you, last comment, something that you just want to leave with our listeners to help them on their journey of creating the life that makes them feel happy and joyful?
Well, first of all, buy my book at Amazon.com.
I know that's right.
Amazon.com. Or you can just go to my website and buy a book off my website at ansababooks.com. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, let's just all we parents, or not even just parents, let's support this cause for children to like themselves now, not want to be anybody else, but like themselves and appreciate themselves now. Don't wait till puberty time or high school time. Let them do it. Let them start right now. When it comes to, like, the negative stuff about being multicultural, that's, you know, that's always going to be there, but we need to limit it. These children are too small to be put in adult conversations right now. So let them have a good foundation. Let them like themselves the way they are now. Short hair, long hair, black or white or Asian or Indian. No, let's just remember that our insides are the same, and we appreciate each other's outside. That way we can learn more about each other and celebrate each other, and this is what the topic says, celebrate our differences. Let's celebrate. It's okay. Let's celebrate. And that's how, that's, and then, of course, let's help each other more and be more considerate of what we say to each other concerning our differences. Let's keep some to yourself, and, you know, things that are rude, just keep to yourself. Stereotypes, keep to yourself. Let's just deal with the positive side and the positive aspect of multiculturalism for our children, at least in the formative years, 0 to 12. Let's just remember that our children are precious, and we want them to stay precious and love themselves and who they are.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, you know, we teach what we need to learn. So if we devote that time as parents, as adults, to teaching children about their many flavors, their uniqueness, their gifts and talents, their connection to God, then we as the adult, as the parents, get to learn something different if we're willing to listen. You know, it's about listening and celebrating the differences. Celeste wanted to know what kind of cupcake she is. I think she's a caramel cupcake. And Tabby on Facebook said, I am vanilla with lemon fillings. I could just take this in the whole. I mean, you could do so much with this thing. This is such a beautiful topic, beautiful title. You know, children are like cupcakes. I mean, you could do sessions with young people, with adults, and maybe get people to dress up like cupcakes. Well, I don't think you get men dressed up like cupcakes. anyway, that was a good idea while I was thinking about it.
Ansaba,
thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I'm grateful that Celeste connected us and told me about you. And the conversation continues. This is all part of the healing, and I want to thank your parents
for being part of this, for being part of the catalyst for this conversation, your daughter, your husband, and all the emails and everybody else to support this process. Thank you. Thank you so much. Life is good. It's getting better. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Eastern time. Yeah, there you go. Because we changed now. We actually, you know, speaking of change, I keep telling people this is summertime. This is not spring. I mean, spring, 83 degrees. Get over it. Everything is shifting. Everything is changing. And I'm grateful for the children that are coming onto the planet now. They see life differently. They know that there's something more. Now, some of us adults may have got lazy in our thinking, in our living. We're tired. We've given up. But the children are challenging us to step up. So, you know, as we get ready to release the show, I want to ask you, what stereotypes do you have? What negative stereotypes do you have about other race, other culture, other people? Sometimes it's about people in your family. I remember there was a time when I said, I don't want to be known as a Nigerian because they're too loud. They own like they own the world. I was a teenager. I was ignorant. I didn't want to be associated with Nigerians. That's when I moved back to England. I was embarrassed about my own culture. I had to go through that. We all have it. Sometimes it's about other cultures. We don't understand, but we're afraid to say we don't understand. We are all part of the healing. And when we recognize that, maybe we can really say, yeah, we are one. Because when we say we are one, that's a bold statement. The question is, what are you doing to be part of that oneness? War is definitely not the answer. War is a reflection that we see ourselves separated. Because you can't attack. And I'm talking for all the countries. I'm talking about fight in families. You know, when we can't get on, when we just like, oh, I can never get on. It's when we see ourselves separated from the other. Because you can't attack somebody that you feel connected to, someone that you love, someone that you see as yourself. We only attack the thing or the people that we think is separated from us. You have a choice. You have the tools. It's time to push the application key. Now remember, you're a cupcake, like it or not. There's nothing you can do about it. Check out Unsava's website. That's her name, ANSABABooks.com. Information on there to get the book. Read to your children. Ask them questions. Ask them their thoughts. I don't know. Today feels like, I don't know what today feels like, but it doesn't feel like Thursday. So let's say see you on Monday. I'm like, Monday? But it is Thursday. But who cares? My whole life is just one big day rolled into one. Tomorrow will be tomorrow. It's time to release the show, and I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of this conversation. I'm grateful for my guest. Celeste, thank you for all you're doing. I truly appreciate you. Listeners, thank you for sharing the show with your friends. Know that the show will be archived, or in about 15 minutes after the show, you can download it. Just share the link with your friends, your lovers, your haters, your enemy. As you know, you don't have an enemy because your enemy is really your inner me. When you know who you are, when you love yourself, you recognize your oneness with others. So even when you're judgmental, when you're critical, you can say, ooh, let me stop. You can be compassionate even while you're judging. When you're compassionate in your judgment, that's called unconditional love. And unconditional love is like a light bulb. It shines light on the darkness. So you are set free. You are made whole. I want to play some songs. I want to go out with some songs. You know, it's a heavy topic. It's very sensitive. So I'm going to play something by Esther Nicholson. I believe this belongs to you. And maybe something by Ricky Byers or State of Man. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Folks, whatever you do, make a difference. Be the light. Shine your light. You are a light. And just as important, I want you to remember this. Be love, because that's what you really are. Be it. Don't do love. Be love. Be true to yourself and allow yourself to be loved. Be loved. Allow the love to come back. Try a different meal today. Ask somebody a question, something that you've always wanted to know. Yeah, go ahead if you want to touch somebody's hair because you want to know what it feels like. Go ahead and do it. Can I touch your locks? What does it feel like? Yes, go ahead. And if you're the one with the locks, don't get judgmental. They want to know. Okay, don't start another show. Release the show. Release the show. Ooh, yes, children are like cupcakes. And so are you, adults. Get with it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here is Esther Nicholson. I believe this belongs to you. It's all about love. It's all about love. And love doesn't judge, doesn't separate. Love is about oneness. It's time to have a new understanding of what love is. I will see you on Monday, 12 Eastern, with my guest will be, who's my guest again? Carol Ritberger, Dr. Carol Ritberger, R-I-T, Berger, yeah. Probably messing that up, but I'll find out from her before the show. So if she's listening, please forgive me. I'm an African. English is not my mother's tongue.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and all the shows are archived. You can listen to them. And don't go a day without Life Coach Ade. I'm out of here. This is Esther Nicholson. I believe this belongs to you. To find out more about Esther Nicholson, go to her website, Esther Nicholson, Esther Nicholson. If you didn't catch that, send me an email. Check it out. Peace and blessings. Ah, life is good.
I once heard a powerful story about a man who stood at his truth with such conviction in who he was. Would not be moved. Someone stepped out of the crowd and said, "Are you Martin Luther King?" He said, "Yes, I am." And the well-dressed man spit on him. King took out his handkerchief and wiped the hate. Gave it back to the man and said, "I believe this belongs to you. I will lift you up. Do what I can do. I see your heart. I know your pain. I've been there too. I will hold. I know.
I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
What do you want to say today? What do you want to know? Time started slipping away. Hey, when we started getting old, the rainbow never lost its true meaning. Indigo children arrive, prophecy to be born. Do you recognize the signs? They're all around you. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. The universe is calling you to raise your daughters and sons. The universe is calling you. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. When you gonna pick it up? Whoa, life is so much more than that 9 to 5. It's so much more than the zeros and ones. We're living out of tune. Open arms, embrace the sun. There's a miracle in your eyes. It's reflected in the sky. See, we are the rainbow children, sent here to unify. You may not see it yet, oh no, but it's coming. Oh yeah, I sing these songs to pride. Your daughters and sons, the universe is calling you. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. Tell me when you're gonna pick it up.
Committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.